You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
They are underway in Clearwater, Florida. Tulane, Houston, back-to-back leadoff singles in the top of the first. Rain delayed that. It was supposed to start at 11 a.m., so just a little behind schedule. And we'll keep you posted on the score there. LSU taking on Mississippi State in the SEC tournament. 4:30 today is when that takes place. The Colonels back into action after doing what they had to, the sweep. Thursday, Friday, Saturday will take on Southeastern tomorrow at noon, and Thursday they will play at 4, so it's a double eliminate. They're playing two games regardless. Wednesday and Thursday, they're doing that as well. We've been asking a number of questions for you. If you want to chime in, it's 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. Don't forget the TuneIn Radio app's absolutely free. You can listen to us anywhere. You can listen to anything that is on our airwaves, including Matt Moscone after further review coming up next hour from 3 to 6. And then from 6 to 8 every Tuesday, the Kenny Farrell Show, head coach of your New Orleans Jesters. Plenty of topics, not only on the Jesters, but also soccer overall. It's called football. You understand what I'm saying?
Why?
Brian and Elise. What do you mean, why? Here we go again. Well, there we go. We went over the ESPN's top 100 most world-famous athletes, three of the first four. Other than LeBron James at number two, are soccer players. Your first NFL players, Tom Brady at 38, but yet Brian Nola East says he wants American football over national or world football.
Of course I do. I mean, it's more popular.
And well, you know what else you're also wrong in?
Oh, what's that?
You're picking a 30-point blowout win by the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, it's happening. It's happening.
Well, it's lonesome in this
town. You know what?
I have
a little belief in CPM.
Really?
Little belief. Aside from the fact that the bearded one knows his legacy is at risk.
Just walking.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
In the rain, going back to Houston.
That's what I'm saying. Going back to Houston. 2-2.
Houston.
Did you hear the top of the hour sports center there? Iguodala. He's got an achy knee. Bang knees with the bearded one.
He's 137 years old. He's always got achy knees.
Hey, he's the one that's been guarding James Harden. He's not going to be healthy tonight.
Wow.
Did you hear the song from Dean Martin here? Houston. You hear that?
Oh, wow.
Houston.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Go back to Houston 2-2. And then it's just a 2 out of 3. Then what?
No, it's not going to happen like that.
Yep. You don't even have anything for you.
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Name one Oakland song.
I don't have to name an Oakland song.
Mm-hmm.
I can just, you know, do one of the best songs ever made.
One song's best songs. Here we go.
That's all I need. I'm not even going to play the rest. You know? I'm just going to make that a sounder. California Love. That's all I need.
But it's really good to go up into a song.
It really is.
It really is. Circa 97, 98, me and buddy Mon.
That's right. That's Greg. When you were in the Mean Street Cemetery, terrorizing people.
No. That was when we were running Hattiesburg.
Oh, that's when, you know,
you could
terrorizing
drive,
people.
You can drive in front of the Union back, then now it's all paved and brick. That's what happens when you go bowling a lot. You can brick streets.
Yeah, you know, beating up guys and taking their girlfriends.
No, you just gotten a brand new Camaro. It's a present for senior year.
Oh.
And, you know the rule. You lower the windows 2/3 way, so only your eyes can sort of be seen.
Yeah, that's right. Tinted windows.
See, I know. I know how to ride.
You do.
Yeah, I rode shotgun really well.
Yeah, you should.
I did. I did well. But that was.
You know.
And Biggie. Ta, 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 ta. How do you want it?
No, see. Yeah. That's right there when you just showed.
What?
You only pretend and you really don't know. Because.
That's Tupac.
That's Tupac.
Well, he was in there.
No, Biggie was not in there. Not at all.
They were friends at first.
No, yeah, they were friends at first.
I was thinking of another song that they were. There's a collaborative effort in there.
Somewhat. It was pieced together by two different. Yeah. It's okay.
Well, again,
it's okay. You
know,
there's
a long category of songs.
Because when you're playing Dean Martin and stuff like that, I mean, sometimes you get confused because Dean Martin was very hood. I mean, he was in a gang himself.
Hey, look, I didn't say that. I just used him because of Houston.
Oh, I understand.
I never
listen,
said it was mean
street. The Rat Pack were running around Vegas smacking
back
people.
Back in the day when you were telling me what 97, 98, yeah, I was just like, oh, I know that time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Time. I remember that.
You know the 60s as well, don't you, big boy?
No one drove up to the Union to get their mail any cooler than we did.
Oh, I bet.
I'm just saying.
I mean, doing laundry probably was, you know, thug life.
Hey.
White tips at all.
Hey. I did not have frost tips.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. Yeah. You look like you were a candidate. You trying to have that boy band look back then? Yeah.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
Exactly,
Joey. Joey's supposed to be on my side.
No.
I don't have any photographs.
Oh, you
got to
see him in his intramural uniform. That's really thug-like.
I'm sorry. No. Two-time intramural champion.
I'm sorry, champ.
Okay?
Sorry, champ.
Champion. You're getting exposed. Okay? Yeah. Champion.
Should have saw a picture of little G-Cat running around.
I earned that respect. Let me tell you something.
With his three size two big tank top.
Hey, all I know is I drained a three from the left corner that helped us win in Reed Green Coliseum. Okay?
Were you guys up or down by 20 when you hit the shot?
Well, no, we won like 21-14 or something. I mean, it wasn't a lot of scoring in the game, but we still won.
Oh, yeah.
The three didn't matter.
Still a win.
I'm pretty sure they hung his jersey in the Raptors after that one.
Yeah. There is actually two plaques. Two, because we're two-time.
Oh, yeah.
Winners, right?
Is it still there? Or did
it's
they kinda,
still,
or did,
it's
you know,
still
put
at
it
the
in
Payne
a box
Center.
And collecting
it's still
dust.
There in the rec center. No, it's right there when you walk in. It's to the left. We live in infamy, the Sacks.
You know what?
Yeah,
do you think so. A road trip.
Let me tell you something. Do you have anything that has your name on anything that will live in infamy well after you're long and gone? That will still be there for me. Do you have anything? Thank you.
I have some.
You have nothing. You weren't even around when the Greatest played.
I'm still trying to think.
Exactly. You have nothing.
I was around.
You have nothing.
It's okay. Do you know why?
Hmm.
Because I'm friends with you, buddy. And I can live through you. I can live vicariously through your two-time championship.
Hey, let me tell you something. That's on my back all the time. I get that. That's fine.
Yeah.
I got plenty of room right here.
Oh, okay. I understand. Carry me to victory, buddy.
Hey, that's what I've been carrying people all my life.
Kangaroo-like.
Wait, what am I getting the sad violin for? You don't know how hard it is.
I understand.
It's very hard every day to carry.
Hey, listen. I mean, you know. It's not like Dino, Jordan,
right.
Myself,
mm-hmm.
Pepito,
mm-hmm.
Larry, or anybody. Yeah. It's not like we helped at all. No, all you, MJ.
Hey.
You carried us.
Hey, Jordan needed to be Jay Armstrong, Will Perdue, and all of that. I mean, that's how it works.
Thank goodness for Charles.
Charles, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover, 800-998-1003. What you got, bud?
Hey, I'm actually going to have to take Brian's side in this argument because I think that Golden State is going to come out and not only impose their will, but destroy Houston. I don't think that Houston wins another game in the series.
Mm.
I think they got their one game out of the way. And, you know, Gus, you talk about Chris Paul, but you can't really rely on Chris offensively when he averaged under 20 points a game when you're facing a team like the Warriors.
I have to say nothing else. Charles, not only did he bring it, he was throwing like a 100-mile-an-hour fastball right at your forehead.
You know what? I was distracted by Jay Hardgrave firing me, essentially saying carrying Einstein doesn't matter. So that doesn't count as being carried.
No.
Charles, here's the thing. It just, they won 65 games. It still is a good team. You still have the guy that's likely might going to win the MVP. I mean, they won game two. What happened in game two? What, the Warriors were disinterested?
They were happy with the
split.
Explain
me game two.
They were happy with the split. They won game one. They were happy with the split. We go back to Golden State now. We're disinterested.
Yeah, I think they were happy with the split as well, but you look at game two and you look at some shots falling. You look at a lot of turnovers being an issue, and Houston was going to have a night. I mean, the reason they won game two was Eric Gordon going on for 27 points. It wasn't anything else they did in the regular season. And when they have a team that relied on shooters when they ran their ISO plays to have open shots, about a person who can't see the court, they're just taking a lot of shooting off of them. And we can't argue. The Warriors are one of the best, if not the best, team ever assembled.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how many games Houston won, you can't expect them to come out here and really – win this series. I don't think they ever had a shot.
Charles, I'm going to ask you, if Golden State is playing at their absolute best and Houston is playing at their absolute best, who wins that game?
Golden State. If Golden State plays a B game and Houston plays an A-plus game, Golden State still wins.
Exactly. Because you brought up MVPs, didn't you, Gus? James Harden might be the MVP this year. What does Golden State have right now?
They got a handful of them.
Exactly. That's all.
Charles, this is the point about Golden State that's right on. You got to beat them four times, man. I think you can get them once or twice. You got to beat them four times. That's four times.
And people have been saying that Houston's trying to beat them at their own game, but really, Houston's not really trying to push the pace. They ran, I think, 55 ISO plays.
There you go.
They really run a lot of ISO, and their ISO number is almost double from what it was in their season. They're trying to get Harden involved, but a guy like Capella is not really good in touches. He's not scoring. I think that's an issue for this team, as well as guys like Chris Paul not getting the high assist numbers. I think it would behoove them to have Chris Paul play at his best, which I think is him being a facilitator.
Yeah, absolutely right on that. The only problem is that Mike D'Antoni is Mike D'Antoni. And that
I was just
going to
say, Mike D'Antoni got himself fired a couple of games ago when he said, well, that's who we do, we're ISO ball. I'm like, dude, you're killing yourself. You're absolutely hurting your team because Charles is right on this. I said this in hour number one, Charles. Chris Paul's got to be the guy. Almost Harden is the two. Go and shoot and have Paul create because that's when he was great. Even in the round before this when he went bananas and he couldn't miss Chris Paul. Did that, and I mentioned Capella. Some of these other guys have to do it. Ryan Anderson's the great mystery to me. Three, four years, man, that guy was a solid player, and I don't know if he didn't get over what happened to his girlfriend or what, but he just is not there. I mean, the fact that he's not playing, or he played 5 minutes in the last game and got no points, is dumbfounding to me.
Especially from a rebounding standpoint.
Right.
I think Ryan Anderson has always been a below average, if not even worse, defender. And that's something you need to have. You need to have some defensive ability, especially when you think Ryan Anderson's going against Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, or even a guy like Andre Iguodala. If he can't defend, he's just a negative on the court, no matter how many open threes he gets. And the way that Golden State plays team defense, I just don't see him getting shots.
And right there, Charles, that's where you're exactly right. Because Mike D'Antoni is going to this ISO ball, you're making it easier for Golden State to defend you.
Absolutely, because athleticism and rotate, I mean, it's easy.
Exactly, offensive end, now you've expended so much energy on defense that you have nothing left for your offense, and
Chris
that's why
they're
losing.
The Rockets looked the best this year when he controlled the pace, and he would penetrate, and he did what he did here. He picked his spots when he's shooting. You know, if you go with the guy that he's looking to shoot it, then he'll shoot it, and because he's in the paint, and he can hit those teardrops and run. I think, again, I've said this, it's what happened in game two, and if for them to win, Chris Paul has to be the guy that really runs this game tonight.
Charles is a genius. I just want to point that out.
I mean, he might have given you a point or two. Thank you, Charles, for the phone call. Good stuff, man.
Yeah.
What? What are you looking at me for?
I'm just saying. I mean, it's only right that it happens this way to you.
What?
For you to build yourself up over there talking about how you carry us, and all of a sudden, just like that.
Look at the Warriors. You gotta see them.
What is
this? Yeah. Hey, I remember Nelly down the Bella. Nelly's 3 for 3, and we believe in never mind of reminiscing on the champagne confetti, witnessing the legendary Golden State of Mind Rally.
Golden State of Mind Rally.
Wow.
That's actually one of the better ones I've ever heard.
Yeah, that is not too bad of a fan. I'm assuming that's a fan song. Yeah, there it is.
Okay.
Are you stunned over there? What are you stunned for?
For the record, let's not ever do that again.
What?
Whatever that was, let's not do that again.
What are you talking about? That's right on par with your other number one fan. This is all on your playlist, by the way.
I would not confirm nor deny this.
Mm-hmm. Here it is. Your other song. I know this is on your phone right now. This is it right here. Actually, as a matter of fact, I heard it coming out of your car when you got in the parking lot today.
You did not. I only played it on my phone.
Yep. I mean, that's yours right there, isn't it?
No, not at all. I mean, I like to, have a better selection. My musical catalog is almost endless. I'll show you what I played when I was coming in.
Fire the cannon. cannons, I said fire.
I did not play that. You will not say I played that.
Fire the cannons and zone.
It is.
End zone. End zone we own.
That's what you like, right?
Carolina Panthers with sharp teeth and claws. We growl to win this game. We call pro football.
That's beautiful.
That's disturbing.
What? This is all on your, this is it.
That's disturbing.
All right, now we're for a good one. Hey,
Gates, you are safe. This is what I played when I was coming in.
What's the one we liked last year?
That was the Duda Sean Payton song.
Nah, there's another one that's Chopper.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Chopper song. That was pretty good.
Chopper song's pretty good.
Yeah.
Is that all you have to say is, ah, Chopper, not Chopper? I'm asking you for pronunciations here.
Chopper?
Yeah, Chopper.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like Chopper Toolis. Nobody says Chopper Toolis.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking Chopper. You. It's Chopper, not Chopper.
Correct.
Okay,
I just double checking. For some reason when you say it, it just sounds...
What?
I don't know. Say it again.
It's not gloom and doom.
It's not doom and gloom, but it's close. Say it again.
Chopper.
One more time for the listeners.
Chopper.
The good teams don't come in and say could have. They get it done. All right? It's that simple.
See, I got it done.
It's Chopper. No.
Well, it's Chopper. Like, if I'm on stage, like, I'm judging, I don't know, we got a crawfish boil somewhere. All right, now I'm coming to the stage, here's Chopper.
Wait, what?
I said, what? I don't understand how I'm saying it wrong.
Because you're saying it.
So it just sounds funny, me saying it.
Yes.
You say it. Chopper. Coming to the stages.
Chopper.
That's what I just said.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Coming to the stages. Chopper.
See, there you did it again.
What? What did I do?
You're saying Papa.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying something over there. I don't know what you're saying.
It's Chopper.
Okay, try this.
Yeah.
Chopper style.
Chopper style.
No, like what are you saying?
Say it like I mean it. I don't know.
Say it with your chest.
All right, here, North Shore. Come on, North Shore, say it.
Let's get a chopper.
Whoa, with the New Orleans accent and everything.
Ooh. Okay, that's not...
That's all in your face.
Okay, well, first off, I mean, that's not A. That's not phonics. I don't even know what that was.
What do you mean?
That was like an A-W-H.
No, that wasn't.
Chopper.
No, that's not what he said at all. I mean, he put the New Orleans twang on it and everything. It was just straight Cajun.
Give me the East.
What you mean?
Give me the East. How does he say it?
Man, I'm about to go listen to Chopper, babe.
What?
See?
Okay, give me North Shore again.
Let's get a Chopper.
See what I'm saying? Look, now do the Mean Streets of Metairie for us.
Chopper. What?
It's
Chopper.
What is that?
From North Carolina?
What's wrong with you?
I said,
have you ever lived in New Orleans?
It sounds exactly like y'all are saying it.
What are you doing?
There's no difference. It sounds exactly like y'all.
No, it doesn't. See, you just said y'all.
All right, fine. Let's go by you. Joey, give me Chopper.
Me Chopper?
Same thing.
No. Joey even said it with the Cajun accent.
Me Chopper.
See?
Me Chopper, man, yeah?
You know what?
I'm finished with this guy.
It's time to go to break.
You are so lucky.
I didn't say anything differently than y'all.
Oh, yeah. Well, just wait till the Twitter feed gets
the
hold of this one.
Same thing y'all just said it.
No.
Absolutely.
Spell Chopper to us.
All right, one more time for me.
Chopper.
You?
Chopper.
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 The same thing.
What are you saying?
Same thing.
You're not even saying it.
Okay, I didn't need to get long.
Wow.
I don't think I said it any different.
I hope he wasn't listening to this to hear you butcher his name like that.
It's Chopper. I said the same thing.
You're doing it again.
I did
just
nothing
stop.
Wrong. Whatever. Sports Hangover continues next. Saints OTAs this week. Some of the storylines will be focusing on Tino Hansen. Bottom of the hour, we'll touch on the little Western Conference. Apparently, do we even need a touch on? Do we need Dino? I mean, you already said it's a 30-point loss tonight.
I mean, we need to get expert analysis, so you might as well just have him back up what I said.
Where is he from again?
No, Dino?
Yeah.
Seven Ward.
Okay, we'll get his take then.
Oh, Dino's going to say it. Not only that, he's going to say smooth and sophisticated when he says it.
Same thing I did. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
You know, rap by the Saints or Pelicans.
Oh, you want to do a little competition? Huh?
Yeah.
All right, well,
maybe we could scrape up a couple of pennies, do a giveaway, maybe give a ticket or something like that later
on.
Okay,
well, you know what? We could come up with something like that.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. Got to submit it.
Yeah, we know.
About a minute 30.
Yeah, that's all. Something short.
Or 60 seconds.
Yeah.
60 seconds, man.
Because the Sean Payton song.
We'll figure this out here in a second. Touch them all, Timmy Grubbs, at Mr. Tim Grubbs. Doing a follow over on Twitter. He's the voice of your New Orleans baby cakes. Tim, how are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great, Gus. How are things back in New Orleans?
Doing fantastic. Can you do me one quick favor?
Sure.
Can you say the name Choppa, the rap artist?
Choppa?
Wow.
See?
Even Timmy Grubbs did it.
He sounds just like what I just did.
No, he didn't.
I don't know who these people are.
Oh, we're having fun. All right, so look, you guys back on the road. I mean, at least you were home for a little bit, you know?
Were home for a while. We were home for 9 days, had a few day games in there, so had some good family time. It was great. No, I enjoyed, you know, our time back there, and we're now on the road for 9, so, you know, you enjoy 9 days at home, you get whacked on the back end, you get 9 days on the road. But no, we'll be back home next week. We got 4 games against the dreaded Memphis Redbirds.
There they are.
A week from tomorrow. So, but I'm enjoying the good weather up here. You know, it's a nice break from the New Orleans heat.
Yeah.
It's in the low 70s, upper 60s, so it's definitely been comfortable.
Well, a couple of wins here during the homestand as well. So, look, again, it's one of the things you and I have touched about in throughout the season is you thought this farm system was going to produce some players here as well. And look, you started almost get close to June. So maybe some call-ups or some guys coming in. I mean, we saw Linson come, you know, come in and pitch against the Cakes here at the Shrine on A-Line. And that was kind of cool. So you're starting to see their injuries take a toll and maybe help out to maybe see some names.
Yeah, no, that's the one thing that we have made call-ups. You know, when you would call me last year and we were talking, you know, all of a sudden we won a couple of games and then we would take a hit and right. call up a guy, we right. couldn't survive that. And that's what happened. I think that's the difference between the farm system for the Miami Marlins 2014, 15, 16, and what it is like now. Last week, while the team was at home, we promoted 2 of our starting pitchers. You know, and normally, if you lose 2/5 of your rotation, you're going to be in trouble because now all of a sudden you got to piece it together with bullpen guys and you got to plug in people where maybe extended with beyond what they're supposed to do. Well, we had to deal with that last week and without a hitch. You know, yeah, maybe we gave up a little bit more runs when we lost those guys, but
right.
we still survived. We still won the ball games, and I think that's the big difference between this Cakes team than last year's team or the Zephyr teams from the years before, that the Marlins now have depth. And, if we lose a player, we lose the catcher, we've lost a couple players to injury this year, we've lost a few players to the big league, that we can survive and continue to win.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of teams kind of call players up, and we're going to get into that in the Major League Baseball headlines here, but just wrap up on the Cakes. You got Omaha for 3 games and left, obviously, winning last night 9-5, and then you got the Iowa Cubs. Be nice to them Thursday through all the way to Tuesday next week, and then those dreaded Memphis Redbirds coming here next Wednesday. But Omaha, again, you've been facing finally in Iowa and Memphis, 2 new teams on the schedule.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing some fresh teams out there. Yeah, we've had some success. We're in a stretch where we're playing 24 consecutive games against either Omaha or Round Rock. Now, the good news is we are, almost through this stretch. We are in that stretch. We are 14-7. So, I mean, obviously, we're taking care of business. You know, when you're playing the same stretch of teams, 24 consecutive games, it can go a lot of different ways. Well, it's gone well for us, so I can't complain about it. We've been able to take care of these 2 teams, and we're winning more than we're losing. So, and that's part of the reason why we're knocking on the door right there in second place. You know, 3.5 games back of Memphis, and the Redbirds have lost a few games because they're playing a difficult schedule right now, and they've lost a few players to the big leagues. But, you know, this is what you got to do. It's a long season. We're not even in Memorial Day yet, but we're right there. You know, within a week, we could be in first place, you know, if we can go on a win streak here.
Mr. Tim Grubbs, the way to follow Tim Grubbs over on social media on Twitter. He is the voice of the Baby Capes. We speak each and every Tuesday on the Cakes, and then also top storylines of Major League Baseball. Let's get to the big leagues. And you mentioned the Redbirds, and you mentioned St. Louis. They bring up a kid in Soto. He's, you know, throwing like 100. I'm sorry, Soto is the Nationals guy. I was going to get into the Cardinals pitcher. Kid. Yeah,
he was born in 1998. He hit a home run last night.
It's Jordan the intern, same year, 1998. It's crazy though, right? Because I don't know. Does that help Harper staying around, or does that make it easier for Harper to go bye bye?
Well, I think if you're a Nationals fan, you sit here and you think to yourself, well, if Harper leaves, we got Victor Robles, who is a huge prospect, and we got this Soto, got Juan Soto. I think it could help in keeping Harper there. I'm not convinced Harper's leaving. I've never been a person, you know, ever since I thought for sure Bryce Harper would be a Yankee, but then when the Yankees got Stanton this winter, now I'm thinking the door closed on that opportunity. Obviously, you and I have talked about it. He is buddy-buddy with Chris Bryant. How much money would the Cubs throw at him? Would the Cubs even be interested? I think that would be intriguing. But I can't – I mean, I know someone's going to pull up the Brinks truck to Bryce Harper this offseason and pay him a lot of money. But I think it makes it intriguing for him to stay in D.C. because all of a sudden, you know, with Ryan Zimmerman, you know, getting old, Bryce Harper might look around and be like, you know what, this staying here, you know, the grass may be just as green in Washington if they have all these bright young prospects coming right up through the system. Although Atlanta and Philadelphia both look very intriguing as they have all their bright young prospects coming up too. So that National League East is going to be a very difficult division here in the upcoming years.
Yeah, you know, as we're almost through 2 months of the season, Tim, that's kind of one of the storylines of Major League Baseball this year. I'm kind of seeing you're seeing a lot of young talent sort of coming, and a lot of teams maybe you can sort of see this is going to be interesting, these playoff races. Maybe not this year, but in the near future, it really just doesn't look like, oh, it's just two teams. We'll see them in October, right? Am I wrong on that?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. I think, Atlanta tore it down a couple of years ago. They traded away some people. Philadelphia's been, you know, terrible for the last 3 years. They traded away a lot of their prospects a lot of their players to get prospects. You know, and this is the trend. You know, what the Marlins are doing is no different than what the Cubs did 5 years ago and what the Astros did, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, too. Everybody's doing it. Now, the one thing that is, I think, is the big storyline of this season, at least in April and May so far, is that the Phillies are a year ahead of schedule. The Braves are a year, maybe even 2 years ahead of schedule. The Braves still have some very good players that are still down in AA and AAA. So I think that's been fun, you know, to see all these young players. When you see 19 and 20 and 21-year-old guys come up and perform right away, it is certainly eye-opening, you know, to see, whoa, wait a second. Now, will they be able to keep it up? I don't know. I think Washington has had all these injuries, and I think the Nationals, even though they've had like 5 or 6 guys go down this season, you know, obviously with the emergence of Soto last night and you know, they have some other bright young prospects coming up as well. I think the Nationals will probably outlast those two teams, but it's going to make it intriguing. And you're right, for upcoming years, the National League East looks like that could be a very hot division.
Tim, it's Brian, and with all of the teams that are out there, of course, I know we're about 2 months away from the deadline. Who do you think is going to be buyers and sellers, considering that there are so many guys that are the, you know, teams that have injuries are depleting their teams, or they just look kind of mediocre? Who do you see as buyers and sellers?
You know, I don't know, because I mean, I do think that Manny Machado, the big storyline is Manny Machado is playing, you know, the fantastic Orioles player who's a free agent at the end of the year, and it's all indications there's zero chance of him remaining in Baltimore. So they are going to have to trade him if they want something. He's in Chicago right now playing the White Sox. He went to his locker yesterday and got crushed by the media because everybody thinks he's not going to be traded to the White Sox, but he's going to be traded to the Cubs. And will the Cubs pull the trigger on getting rid of some of the prospects? You know, and that's the other thing is you look at the Yankees. Gleyber Torres is this huge prospect. Could very.
It's all the time we have for Tim Grubbs.
American League Rookie of the Year. Yeah. You know, and the Cubs gave up on him a couple. Well, they didn't give up on him. They won a World Series, so it looks like a good trade. You know, you got Chapman for 2 months. Yeah, he got you the World Series. But, you know, and I think that scares Major League general managers of losing a talent like that for maybe a rental player that you can't keep.
Thank you for that, Tim. I appreciate you for bringing
that
up.
You won a World Series. I still think no matter what Torres does the rest of his career, especially since the Cubs hadn't won one in 108 years, that it probably was the correct decision, especially since Chapman did the job when it was all said and done.
Are you done?
So I think you did well there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's what it is. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Tim. Now he's crying.
No, I'm not crying. I just, you know, it is what it is.
But I do think, you know, Gus and Brian, I do think the baseball, especially on the American League, this is like the NBA playoff. This is like the NBA season. You know, 5 months ago, we knew it would be Golden State. We knew it would be Houston. We knew it would be Cleveland. And in the American League, Houston and the Yankees and the Red Sox are far superior. So I think we're already set in the American League.
Right.
And I think Cleveland will also be in the mix, too, coming out of the Central. But it's crazy that we're not even at Memorial Day, and I think the playoffs are set in the American League already. You know, and I can't see, you know, even if these teams can withstand an injury or two, I can't see anybody else breaking and being able to top any of those three teams, because I just think that they're so far superior to everybody else in the AL.
Yeah, no doubt. As always on Tuesdays, touch them all, Timmy Grubbs. We love to chat with him. He's the voice of the Baby Cakes. Game 2 of 9 straight on the road for him. Feel free to tweet at him. He's got plenty of time on the road there. He'll say hi to
him. No, I will tweet out. I will reach out to you guys, but I'm enjoying the weather, and I'll talk to you here real soon.
Sounds good, man. We'll touch base next Tuesday, the day before you make your way back on over here and take on those dreaded Memphis Redbirds. Thanks, bud.
Yes.
Talk to you soon.
Hi. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, guys.
You got it.
St. Louis.
He was honest, man. I mean,
I didn't even get to their closer that's throwing 105 miles an hour right now.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm done with them. When we come back, Dino Hansen will chat a little basketball. Brian's predicting a 30-point win by the Warriors. I still think Houston can win this one. Everyone's calling me crazy, apparently. What does Dino think? And I'll ask him how to pronounce the name. When we come back, it's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Conference tournaments underway. LSU will face Mississippi State at 4:30. Nichols tomorrow against Southeastern at noon. Tulane, they're supposed to start at 11 against Houston over in Clearwater, Florida. Didn't start till about 2 o'clock. Wave right now get a 2-run triple from Grant Weatherspoon. They now lead 4-1 in the top of the second inning. Tonight is the Western Conference Finals. Game number 4. Dino Hansen joining us. Dino Hoops, 11 is ready to follow him over on Twitter. Gonna have a little fun, Dino, as Brian is predicting a 30-point win by the Houston Rockets here. By the Golden State Warriors. I think Houston can sneak this one out. Am I wrong on this that they have a shot, or is it over?
Golden State wins, but I wouldn't say by 30. I think Houston comes in a little bit more engaged, if you will, not as passive as they were, but it comes down to the fact that, you know, like we talked about yesterday and we've been talking about the past few weeks now, Golden State just has so much to throw at you. And even though there's a very good chance, I haven't seen the latest, but as of yesterday, I knew Iguodala probably wasn't going to play. It's probably still the same right now because of that knee situation. But who saw Kevon Looney being an important cog to this wheel? Like, people didn't even know he even existed, if you will. JaVale McGee hadn't gotten a lot of playing time. Zaza Pachulia hadn't gotten a lot of playing time. David West hasn't. Then all of a sudden, Kevon Looney becomes a intricate part of this team. But Golden State, they just have so much they can throw at you. Even if Steph is not doing what Steph was doing in Game 3, you still got the Durantula, you got Clay, you got Draymond's impact. So I look forward to Houston coming out more aggressively, but they just, I think they're undermanned when it comes to Golden State overall.
I can't agree more, man. I think that, you know, Golden State's going to come out on fire, and I think Houston's going to come out with that initial punch, Dino. But I think afterwards, I think Golden State just kind of hits that switch and shows Houston that, you know what, it was a nice punch, but this is why we are who we are, which is the defending champs. How long do you think this game stays competitive before Golden State makes that run and kind of puts Houston away? Or do you think it's one of those down to the wire fourth quarter, you know, whoever has the last possession could end up winning the game?
Fantastic points all the way across the board, B, and I don't see it being one of those tight, close-knit games. Like, even though last night should have been, but we'll talk about that here in a minute with Cleveland. But, you know, Golden State will hit that gas pedal, and it's like going downhill with no brakes. Once they hit it, they just can't be stopped. Golden State's biggest detractor, if you will, is Golden State. And that's only if they're not playing at a high level. And you're right. I see Houston coming out with that initial punch, showing some toughness. But then Golden State just kicks it into overdrive, if you will. And there is no turning back. I mean, again, I mean, we're all watching this. It is almost unfathomable that Golden State has that much firepower on their team. And really, when you look at it as you could put together an all-star team for the East, and the Golden State Warriors is an all-star starting lineup by themselves. I mean, they're just, they're just clicking on every cylinder. And we, Gus, we've talked about it before. Regular season, after you've won two championships, it's not even a factor to a team like the Golden State Warriors because they have that extra gear. You know, I mean, it's just like, you know, there are some people who are just more talented than others. Regardless of what you do, they just have that switch, man. And Steve Kerr also knows how to get on his guys at the right time to maximize their total production as well.
I want to kind of follow up with this one, Dino. We've seen Mike D'Antoni kind of come out and say, you know what, this is who we are. And we can't change that now. And to a point, he does make a lot of sense when he says that because they've been playing ISO ball pretty much the entire year. But aren't they falling into the Golden State Warriors trap when they do that because of the ball movement? And it kind of makes it easier to defend when you have ISO ball because you only have to worry about isolating that one guy, maybe trapping him and putting him into a bad situation.
There is a fine line between being stubborn with what you've been doing and just flat out nonsense.
Yeah.
Because that's fine to do what you do that's gotten you to this point, but you're in a different part of the season. You're not playing Memphis. You're not playing Sacramento. You're not playing Phoenix. The game is about adjustment, and you can be staunch in your ideology of saying, well, we've done this all year long. Well, you haven't played Golden State for 82 games either. So this is do or die right now. I'm not saying get away from what you have done all season long. No, but I am saying make the necessary and proper adjustment, especially given the fact that you've seen what transpired in game two when you kind of got away from the ISO ball. Having ISO ball here and there is one thing, but you are definitely walking into a lion's cage, and the Golden State Warriors are the lions, and they haven't eaten, and you're just saying, here you go, we're your fresh meat, eat us up. Because we're going to keep on doing what we do. That's why you lost by 41. Because you're going to keep on doing what you do.
41.
And you walk right into
the Eastern Conference Finals
game. That was
game.
Just the most embarrassing. In the
no,
conference.
I mean, it's incredible. It is. I mean, look, I was saying this before we get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think Chris Paul's got to somehow have an imprint in this game. He's can control the ball, can kind of dish it, control the tempo and the pace perhaps. I just think this is why you brought him in, and if not, yeah, it's done.
Oh, and that's the scary thing about it. I understand D'Antoni wants to, you know, matter of fact, I'm amazed that there haven't been this many storylines talked about as there should have been. But if you recall, when Steve Kerr was in the front office of Phoenix, and D'Antoni was the coach for the Phoenix Suns, he wanted him to hire Tibbs because Tibbs being a defensive guru. That's where he and D'Antoni actually kind of fell apart in Phoenix when they were making their run because he refused to make the necessary adjustments. And that's the exact same thing that could come back to haunt him. Because think about it. Steve Kerr has no problem making the necessary adjustments. He's like, you know what? Let's go to the Hampton Five. You know what? Let's get Kevon Looney. I mean, think about it. Kevon Looney hadn't seen any kind of playing time like that. It was all JaVale McGee. Even Zaza Pachulia, you had Jordan Bell coming in off the bench, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Quinn Cook. But then Kevon Looney comes in, and you're like, hold on, where's this guy coming from? Being a great coach is not only being able to put your players in the right position for them to be effective, but it's also about making those necessary in-game adjustments to help your team be in a better position. And fortunately enough, Golden State also has guys on the team that buy into the fact that, okay, if Steve doesn't want JaVale and Zaza playing in all in this series, keep on cheering our starters on, you know, who are in the game performing. And they do that, man. Their buy-in from top to bottom is like none other. It really is.
Big bro, before we switch gears, and I know Gus is going to bring up the Eastern Conference Finals at some point here, I want to kind of get your thoughts on what's been going on in the NBA, because it could shift the Western Conference, maybe even slightly in the Pels' favor, with Carl Anthony Towns possibly being on the move and Kawhi Leonard as well. What are the chances that those two guys actually either get moved for each other or that they get moved completely out of the Western Conference and over to the East?
There's too much smoke coming out of Minnesota now from a number of reports that there's unhappiness going on right there for there to be, you know, no truth to it.
Yeah. You know, I'm a firm believer. Where there's smoke, there's some fire going on, even if nobody sees the fire yet. And what was a very good relationship between Carl Anthony Towns and Coach Tibbs, you know, Coach Tibbs is a definitely hard-nosed, old-school, driving you kind of coach, the same way Pop is. So it would be interesting, let's say, for instance, those two flip-flops, for example. Mm-hmm. If Kawhi was to go to Minnesota, if that's the case, no disrespect to Tibbs, why would you leave Pop to go to Minnesota when Pop isn't on you nearly as much as Tom Thibodeau would be? Carl Anthony Towns, I think he lost his own way. I think he started acquiescing to the addition of Derrick Rose on that team and Jimmy Butler's return, and they did become somewhat more of a perimeter basketball team, and he kind of feels like the odd man out. I wouldn't be surprised, Z and Gus, in all honesty, if, because there's also talk that, of course, come July 1, hey, the Spurs are going to offer Kawhi $219 million for a five-year deal. You're not going to just turn on that kind of money and walk, especially given the fact that San Antonio Spurs is the team where you are the leader of that squad, and they weren't nearly as functional or good enough to make that next round without Kawhi being there. You know, of course, you got other notable free agents that are out there, from Paul George to LeBron and CP3 and so on and so forth. But, yeah, there's something that really hampered the relationship between Tibbs, who I've always loved and respected, and Carl Anthony Towns, which is sad because, I mean, they were right there. I mean, Jimmy Butler getting hurt most certainly impacted their team.
No, I mean, they were a team in a top four, top five all season long, and they had made a huge stride and leap forward. Dino, going to chat about the Eastern Conference game tomorrow, and we'll recap the Western Conference game as well, give it a little bit more time. Look, it's 2-2, and you got to beat the King now two out of three times, and Boston's body language looks so different on the road than it does at home. We'll preview Game 5 tomorrow in Boston, because that's going to be a big one, obviously. But I thought the win last night, kind of hurt Boston there a little bit, man. So we'll chat about that tomorrow, buddy.
I will say this real quickly, though. You know, if you look at the numbers per quarter, the only quarter Boston lost, which was that first quarter, they won the second, third, and fourth quarters of that game number four. So I think Boston goes back a little bit more energized, of course, playing at home. And if they're looking at banking as well, hey, we got two out of three at Boston. Let's just win one. We go to Cleveland and lose. That's going to finish this last one. But I got to guarantee you, LeBron's not going to just go away on that seventh game easily, brother. Y'all know that.
Yeah, no doubt about it, for sure. He wants that record to keep going, man.
Yeah.
Consecutive finals, man. Thank you, Dino. We'll chat tomorrow.
Talk to y'all tomorrow, bro.
All right, big bro.
We'll put a wrap on today's show when we come back. It's Gus Cattingill, Brian in Ole East, and I guess maybe Jordan the intern.
Wow, the disrespect.
Well, no disrespect. Mm-hmm. He threw North Shore at me. He threw the whole North Shore at me.
You know what? Just give it up.
Sports Hangover is next. To wrap it up before Matt Muscoda and After Further Review on ESPN New Orleans. Here he is, Chopper.
Wait, who?
Chopper.
Wait. Are you saying Chopper like the motorcycle?
No, it's Chopper.
No, see, don't say his name. Just say the guy that sings this song.
Because Chopper.
No, see, now you're doing it again.
What? I don't understand. The individual spelled C-H-O-P-P-A. Chopper. That's what I said.
No, see, you're saying his name again, but you're saying it wrong.
How am I saying it wrong? It's his name.
Pronunciate it.
I just did. Chopper. Chopper.
Wait.
Chopper.
You sound like a bad kung fu flick, man. What is this?
A bad kung fu flick?
Yes.
Jordan, say it.
What, the chopper thing?
See, he said it easily, and he even added stuff with it so you can know exactly who he was talking about.
That's what I just said, Chopper.
Wow.
I don't understand. Wow. I'm not hearing this. It's like that thing on the internet, Yanni or Laurel, and there's no Laurel in there. It's Yami. There's no Laurel in there. There is no Laurel in there. You even know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
What did you hear?
Oh, I heard Yanni.
Thank you. Yeah, it's because the smart people hear it. I'm no difference.
No, it's a big difference.
Not at all.
Yes.
No.
Do they not have choppers in Metairie?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Especially on your street, don't they?
Hey.
Mean streets of Metairie. Got choppers all over.
Reach out to him. Let's try to get him on.
Yeah.
We'll ask him how to say his name.
You know what? That'd be great. Because I'm pretty sure he knows how to.
No, we're going to talk about the song, though. I like Jordan's idea. Let's maybe he can judge. Maybe he can help judge
who
wins the fan off. But you get, it's going to be amateur. Like, you grab your phone and you turn around and you do it on a video. And you're going to tweet it at us. It's not going to be produced and all that.
No.
We'll leave that to the professionals like Chopper.
Wait, who?
Chopper.
No, so you don't. You're even worse now.
My point is, give up. The regular folk, we're just gonna use your phone.
You know, it's sad when Tim Grubbs, who's not even from here, says it with more emphasis than you did.
He said it the same way I did.
Nah, he kind of didn't.
He did.
And Timmy doesn't even know who that is.
OTA's underway in the books. Number one for your New Orleans Saints. Some other storylines in and around the world of OTAs. No big news. Tom Brady not. Gronk's not. Coach Bill Belichick today said, I'm not talking about the players down here. Dude, is there something going on up there?
There's a lot going on up there.
Right? I mean, this is a team that's done their best to not have storylines or drama. And this is just weird.
And it's been continuing. It's not like it just happened once and all of a sudden now. But
I think this is Tom's way of going, hey, you don't want my trainer around? You don't want that? I'll see you when I see you.
Yeah.
Because you know what? He's got the leverage. Who's their quarterback?
He does. Nobody.
Danny Etling.
I mean, that's exactly nobody.
Exactly. how's Atlanta doing over there?
Quintoris isn't showing up.
What?
Quintoris. Yeah, he didn't show up. Oh, you guys know him as Julio.
We know him as Julio.
Yeah, you guys know him as Julio Jones. Yeah, you know the guy that dropped the pass on, when they were in the end zone.
He did.
Yeah,
he did.
He does that a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Julio. Mm-hmm. Well, he's sitting out because he wants a new contract, which we all kind of knew that. Carl Deuce came on with us from 97.9 The Game. And he kind of told us that Julio was going to make a play, especially after Matt Ryan got 100 mil.
Julio wants his. Who did they draft?
They drafted Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
from?
He's from Alabama.
So they just went newer and younger.
Correct. And maybe a guy who actually catched the ball this time.
Ooh.
Just saying. Who's your breakout player?
I see what Joey just did.
Who's your breakout player?
Breakout player for your New Orleans Saints. I'm going with Ryan Ramczyk.
I like that.
This year. I think he makes a Pro Bowl as a right tackle. And if that's the case and Armstead is healthy, and again, I'm still waiting for a healthy year.
Yeah.
Right? But if you have two tackles that can do that, man, you'd have a...
I'm going to go with Sheldon Rankins. I think year three is going to be big for him, man. I think he's going to break out. Of course, break out possible Pro Bowler. He's been compared to Aaron Donald before as far as his ability. I think
he's not at OTAs either.
Oh, he's not?
No. He wants a new contract.
Oh, really?
Everybody wants a new contract.
Everybody wants a new contract. Oh, okay. It's fine.
All right.
He'll show up eventually without a new contract because the Saints don't negotiate that way.
But exactly right. We will see you tomorrow. We'll have some fun. Get you ready for, of course, Nichols taking on. Well, we'll give you updates throughout the show. They'll be playing at noon. And then Thursday, Brian, we'll be out there at Saints OTAs. The one day we can see. It's the third day of the OTA period this week. Looking forward to it. We'll have all of that and more. You'll hear from Sean Payton and players and everything. So looking forward to that. Up next, though, it's Matt Moscona. And after further review on ESPN at New Orleans. Be able to fly. No, baby, I'm gone.